Hey, it's Kira Davis here. Are you like me and looking to get in shape for summer? Well, I've got a deal that can help you. You can eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals. One of my favorite things about Factor Meals is how easy they are. You can get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals, so you can get back to doing what you love this spring. Are you looking for something a little fancier? Say no more. You can try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus. Factor is your solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking. And if you're the type that likes to look out for the environment while you're getting in shape for that summer bod, you'll be happy to know that Factor is celebrating Earth Day all month long. So look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. And fans of Just Listen to Yourself get a very special deal on Factor this month. Head to factormeals.com/JLTY50 and use code JLTY50 to get 50% off your first month. Plus, get this, plus 20% off your next month. I got to tell you guys that again because I know you can't believe it. Use code JLTY50 at factormeals.com/JLTY50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
This is the FCB Podcast Network.
I pray the Lord my soul today that we won't lose faith and we won't lose faith. All we got is us, no one can take that away. Yeah. So don't lose faith, it's gonna be okay. I pray the Lord my soul today that we won't lose faith and we won't lose faith. All we got is us, no one can take that away. Yeah. So don't lose faith, it's gonna be okay.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Just Listen to Yourself. We're doing another throwback episode this week. I'm still pulling myself together from the crazy month of May. Thank you for everyone for your patience and your support. I asked Darvio to pull out the Ben Carson episode this time. I feel like it didn't get enough love that first time. He was a wonderful interview. We had such a great talk. He was so gracious. And so I thought in the spirit of primary season, ginning back up, and we're seeing all of the nastiness that comes with primary season, in honor of primary season, I thought, well, let's pull out this interview with a former presidential candidate who did go through primary season, but who did so with a lot more grace than we see people typically go through it. It was a wonderful conversation. Dr. Carson is so generous with his time and his wisdom. And I think someone can, I think there's something for everyone in this one. I really do. He's a truly inspiring man, and I thank him so much for his time. I thank you for your time. If you've already heard this episode, well, please consider sharing this with somebody. Share it on your social media. Share it to your to a family Facebook page or something. There's a lot of good stuff in here. It's really not that political. So if you're in the sharing mood, go ahead and give us a share. Don't forget to like and subscribe to the podcast, of course. And join me on Substack, justkiradavis.substack.com. I'll be back next week with a new episode. Until then, enjoy Dr. Ben Carson. Dr. Carson, thank you for talking with us today.
It's my pleasure to be here with you. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, I wanted to start out with, so I asked my husband the other day, I'm interviewing Dr. Carson, is there anything that you would like to ask him? And since he is not involved in politics at all, usually like at election time, he just is like, who are we voting for? Just give me the list and then I'm going to the ballot box to do that. But so I just wanted to know what he would ask you. And he wanted to ask you if you ever do any fly fishing because he's becoming obsessed with it.
I certainly have seen a lot of people who do it and seen their obsession.
We had a bet. He was like, I don't think Dr. Carson is a fly fishing kind of guy.
He was right.
Okay.
Although I would probably enjoy it if I ever got around to it.
Well, are you the kind of guy who's always doing something? Like fly fishing requires you to, I think this is why he likes it, requires you to slow down, be present, be in that one place. I mean, if you're the kind of person that's like, oh, I'm always thinking, I'm always moving from one thing to the next, maybe.
I like things like pool.
You like things like what?
Pool.
Oh, pool. You shoot pool?
Where you sit there and calculate the angles and things. I love that.
That makes sense to me, coming from a neurosurgeon. That's fantastic. Well, I am really happy to interview you today. And I have some questions. I was polling my audience as to what they wanted to hear from you. And a lot of them had curiosities about what it was like to run for office. And I this week announced my own run for school board here in my district in Southern California.
And wonderful.
Thank you. It's been an experience so far. It's only been a week and it's been insane. And I'm starting to realize that talking about politics and getting involved in politics are two different things. And you are not I'm not a politician either. I talk about politics, but I'm not a politician. And neither are you. That was what was surprising about you getting in the presidential race originally. It's like, well, this guy, he's a surgeon. He has a career. He has a history. He doesn't need any of this stress. Why on earth would he get into this race? So what was it that prompted you to get into presidential politics in the first place?
Well, I was very concerned about the direction of our country. And I really thought that we were on the precipice and that we might fall off and go in the wrong direction. And I felt very strongly that it wouldn't be that hard to turn things around, you know, with some intelligent policies, getting rid of a lot of the regulations that are on the books but are completely useless and just impede progress because we want to create an environment that encourages innovation and entrepreneurship. And also we were moving away from our values. And I just didn't see anybody out there who was advocating these things appropriately. I was also very concerned about kids and what we're doing to their future with the accumulation of debt, how that can affect their quality of life. That's part of the story. The other part of the story is when I was asked to speak at the 2013 National Prayer Breakfast, I thought that was pretty strange because I had spoken at the 1997 Prayer Breakfast, and I didn't know that anyone ever did it twice. Some research demonstrated that there was one person who did it twice, and that was Billy Graham.
Wow.
And I said, that's pretty good company. So
yeah,
I accepted the invitation. And after that speech, it was just crazy. Everybody saying, you got to run for president. And I said, if I ignore these people, it'll go away. Mm-hmm. But it didn't. Every place I went, there were people with placards, run, then run. And I had over 500,000 petitions in my office.
Wow.
It was ridiculous. And I finally just said, Lord, you know, this is not something that I particularly want to do. But if you want me to do it, then you have to give me all the stuff that someone who runs for president has, a Rolodex with all the important names, a big war chest of money, an organization. And the next thing I knew, all those things were in place. And our organization was raising more money than the RNC each month. And it was crazy.
And what was the one thing, not the one thing, but something that surprised you when you got into presidential politics, when you got in the race? What was something that you were totally shocked by?
Well, you know, I had an inkling of how dishonest the press was, but boy, did I see it big time. You know, particularly when I reached front runner status, they were just coming out with lies every day. Unbelievable. They're very creative. I will give them credit for that.
Yeah. Yes, it seems to be a requirement for being in journalism these days is being creative. But I know I can tell listeners that even just from my limited experience, just in this very small school board race in this very small district, that the liberties that some opposing parties will take with your reputation, with who you are, it is disconcerting. I mean, you've always had a good reputation in your practice. And from what I know about you in your community, I mean, people have held you in high esteem, which is why so many people wanted you to run for president. So didn't it feel sort of hurtful that all of this stuff was going around about you and you knew it wasn't true? And you can't defend every accusation individually. Like, didn't that worry you or concern you?
Well, you know, I kind of look at the big picture and I realize that the good Lord is in charge and he plays the long game. You know, we tend to play the short game. And, you know, it all worked out fine because, you know, I did end up as the Secretary of HUD, got a chance to do a lot of things that affected a lot of people's lives. And that in turn led me to American Cornerstone Institute, where we're able to really focus people on faith, liberty, community, and life. Our Little Patriots program, all of these things are just mushrooming right now. And, you know, I want to have a place that American people can come and find out the real truth about a whole host of things. And, we don't have that to a large degree, and we need to make sure that we do, because the future of our country depends on it.
I agree wholeheartedly, particularly as a parent who has been, I mean, this is today's a 2-year anniversary of 15 Days to Slow the Spread. And it's been grueling, and it's really nice to see people like you stepping up. Well, let's talk about a little bit about HUD and American Cornerstone Institute. You and I do have a tangential connection, by the way, which I used to write for a magazine that you were supporting called American Currency. And I used to, that's kind of where I started out doing a lot of paid contracting. And so I knew how passionate you were, even from just knowing that you were involved in that. But what does the American Cornerstone Institute do? I know they have some scholarship programs. Are you guys involved in making educational programs as well?
Well, education is obviously a huge part of what we do. That's through the Little Patriots program. And it's just what it sounds like. You know, we concentrate on the kids at the young, impressionable age. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it.
Amen.
Well, even our enemies understood that. And, you know, Vladimir Lenin said, give me your children to teach for 4 years, and the seed that I plant will never be uprooted. So taking advantage of that, you know, we have presented an online educational program. Right now it's K-5. We're expanding it. Which gives our kids, for instance, the true history of our country, warts and all, so that they come away with a love and an admiration for our country, not hatred for each other. And we have to be aggressive on this because those who want to fundamentally change our nation, they are very aggressive on it. And if you're running for the school board, you, I'm sure, know how they're trying to indoctrinate our kids. And obviously, that's a winning formula for them if we don't counter them. So the Little Patriots program, free of charge, by the way, littlepatriotslearning.com, because we've gotten underwriters across the nation to underwrite it because they understand how important that is. We also have a book that came out in November called Why America Matters. It's for elementary age and preschoolers. And we have a whole series of books that will be coming out The next one will be coming out is Why I Stand. And it talks about the American flag and what it actually represents. It doesn't attack people who want to kneel, but it tells you why we stand and why we have that respect. And then we're doing one on occupations, different jobs, because all jobs are essential. There should be nobody sitting in an ivory tower saying your job is essential and your job isn't. And how important it is for us all to be able to work together. And we have a little icon, which is a little eagle, and all the appearances on every page, who is the guide. And we emphasize the fact that the eagle has a right wing and a left wing. And he can't fly with two right wings, and he can't fly with two left wings. But when they work together, he flies quite well.
I love that. I love it. Well, what is, you know, we're both Black Americans, and we're both conservative Black Americans as well. And so we get a lot of flack for our views and maybe not fitting into the boxes that people think we're supposed to fit in. And I, as a parent, I don't want to be unrealistic about what the journey of America has been, but why do people like you and I, Dr. Carson, have reason to feel pride in being American and our country's history?
Well, first of all, you know, we should recognize that if you go back and you look at American history is Black history, and Black history is American history. You know, the very first person killed in the Revolutionary War, Crispus Attucks, was a Black person. You look at some of the heroic things that happened with some of the Buffalo soldiers and Black troops throughout all of our world wars. You look at the Red Tails. I mean, it just goes on and on. And you look at the contribution that Black Americans have made. You know, you just walk down the street and you can start with your shoes. It was Jan Matzliger, a Black man who invented the automatic shoe lasting machine, revolutionized the shoe industry throughout the world. And you step on that clean street, Charles Brooks, the guy who came up with the street cleaners, the street sweepers. And down that street comes a big refrigerated tractor trailer truck, Frederick Jones, the refrigeration system for trucks, later adopted for airplanes, trains, and boats. And it comes to a stop at the traffic signal, Garrett Morgan, a Black man. And you can talk about how he also invented the gas mask, saved lots of lives during the war. And then in war, you can say, well, how about Henrietta Bradbury, a Black woman who invented the underwater cannon that made it possible to launch torpedoes from submarine. And you just go on and on and on, all the way to the railroad tracks and Elijah McCoy, the automatic lubrication system for locomotive engines. And he had so many great inventions. When something would come out, people would say, is that a McCoy? Is that the real McCoy? You got racist people like David Duke talking about the real McCoy, don't even know he's paying homage to.
I didn't know either. That's amazing.
We have a lot of stuff to be proud of, believe me.
I agree. And I always say to my children, everything good that I have in my life right now is because of God and because I've been blessed to be a member of this country. And to
absolutely. Yes. And also, you know, my mother, absolutely. If anybody was a victim, it was her. You know, grew up in a huge rural family, got married at age 13, trying to escape desperate poverty. Years later, found out that her husband was a bigamist, had only a third grade education, had to raise her two boys in the inner city by herself. But she never became the victim. And she always said, we got this. We got this under control with the help of the good Lord. And she would never let us make excuses for anything. If we made an excuse out of her mouth, the next thing that came out was a poem called Yourself to Blame. And, you know, it made a big difference. And, you know, her philosophy was, you know, if you walk into an auditorium full of bigoted, racist white people, you don't have a problem. They have a problem. Because, see, they're going to all cringe and wonder if you're going to sit next to them, whereas you can go sit anywhere you want. And that was the kind of household that I grew up in. So it made a difference for me. It made a difference for my brother. You know, I became a brain surgeon. He became the rocket scientist, you know. And she got a lot of criticism, but I think she had the last laugh.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, having a rocket scientist and a brain surgeon who also was a presidential candidate, that's a win for mom. She's kind of making me feel like an underachiever. I have a freshman in high school who thinks she wants to be an actress, and I have a college freshman who is pretty sure he wants to be a filmmaker. They're lovely and intelligent kids, but yeah, definitely no brain surgeons in the family yet, but who knows?
Well, you never know. You never know.
Maybe they can just make films about great brain surgeons or something.
Yeah, but the other good thing is I've noticed an increasing number of Black people moving toward conservatism.
Yeah.
And actually starting to think for themselves, actually looking at the data, seeing who has done something for them and who hasn't, and what works and what doesn't, rather than just listening to so-called leaders.
Well, that's a great transition. You're good at this.
Hey, it's Kira Davis here. Are you like me and looking to get in shape for summer? Well, I've got a deal that can help you. You can eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals. One of my favorite things about Factor Meals is how easy they are. You can get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals, so you can get back to doing what you love this spring. Are you looking for something a little fancier? Say no more. You can try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus. Factor is your solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking. And if you're the type that likes to look out for the environment while you're getting in shape for that summer bod, you'll be happy to know that Factor is celebrating Earth Day all month long. So look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. And fans of Just Listen to Yourself get a very special deal on Factor this month. Head to factormeals.com/JLTY50 and use code JLTY50 to get 50% off your first month. Plus, get this, plus 20% off your next month. I got to tell you guys that again because I know you can't believe it. Use code JLTY50 at factormeals.com/JLTY50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, y'all. This is Allie Michelle. I'm a conservative social media influencer that has been censored by big tech. So I broke away from the restrictions and started a podcast called Pillow Talk with Allie Michelle. My show is a space to have real conversations about the issues that impact our everyday lives without the fear of being canceled by the big tech tyrants. Subscribe to Pillow Talk with Allie Michelle, an FCB podcast on Apple, Spotify, iHeart, or wherever you get your podcasts. That's Allie, A-L-I-I. Come check out my show. I'll see you there.
That's a great transition, because that's one of the questions that I got for you and that I get a lot, which is we're seeing Black Americans kind of move out of this default Democrat attitude, largely due to what's been going on in the last 2 years. But I think we both can admit that this has been bubbling for quite some time. And and so they're looking for ways to move out. As I speak on my race for the school board, it's so funny because the general sentiment among parents is that they're really ticked off about mandates, and that's what's getting them into these races. But when I talk to Black parents, the thing that they say got them into this whole school board thing is CRT. I mean, and that is almost to a person with Black parents. So I'm seeing even Black parents are saying, look, I'm not that political. Yeah, maybe I go to the ballot box and I don't put a lot of thought into it. But when this showed up in my school, I was like, wait a minute, this has nothing to do with how I raise my kids. And this goes against everything I know about parenting. I mean, you've been seeing that too, obviously.
I've been seeing it in droves. And, you know, I think a lot of people recognize that if you take a Black kid and you convince them that the system is stacked against them, that he can't possibly be successful, and that he's a victim, and then he starts to believe that he's a victim, then he is a victim. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. And that's really child abuse as far as I'm concerned. And it's just as abusive, quite frankly, to take the white kids and try to make them feel guilty. You know, I have a white friend, his granddaughter came home crying because she was saying, am I evil because I'm white? You know, I mean, this is just ridiculous stuff that we're doing to these kids. And then if that's not enough, they may not be a girl or a boy. I mean, how can we put all this stuff on our kids? This is just so unfair.
As a parent, it's terrifying. I find it terrifying. And again, it goes against everything I know and everything I've learned. I mean, my parents and grandparents raised me to, you know, to believe that segregation was bad and segregation is evil. And my ancestors marched to and gave their lives, their blood, their livelihood to fight segregation. And now we're in this era where we're now putting a rubber stamp on it and we're calling it equality. It's so bizarre. How did we get here? How did we get here?
It's so illogical. And, you know, as a brain surgeon, I can tell you, you know, when you open the scalp and take the bone flap off, you're operating on the thing that makes that person who they are. Their skin color doesn't make them who they are. The shape of their nose or the texture of their hair doesn't make them who they are. It's the brain that makes them who they are. And, you know, when you're a little more sophisticated than an animal, you can figure that out. Because animals are designed, and their brain is designed with a large midbrain. Midbrain helps them to react quickly. That's why animals react so fast, cat-like reflexes. But the people are the ones who have the big frontal lobes. Those are used for rational thought processing. So you can extract information from the past and the present, integrate it into a plan for the future. You can actually analyze a person. You can actually determine what the content of their character is. You don't have to act like an animal and just look at the color of their skin.
Woo! I didn't know we were going to church today, Dr. Garrison. Well, here we are. Yes, amen to that. And we're up against so much as parents these days. It's nice to know that we have people like you in our corner. I'm wondering, though, what you say to parents who say, well, we need more equity in our schools and we're not teaching enough Black history. And that's all CRT is. It's just Black history. We just need more Black history in the schools.
I would say to them, you need to go and read about CRT and see what it really is. It's not just about Black history. Now, I agree that we need to make an effort to make sure all those things that I was just talking about walking down the street, those things need to be in the books. Everybody needs to know because I think whites need to understand that Blacks have played a very important role in the development of our country. And our kids need to understand that too. And I think that creates mutual respect. But I think people also should know that, you know, I could take a walk down the street and point out a lot of things that Hispanics have made, a lot of things that people of Swedish descent have made. You know, our diversity is not a problem. It's a strength. And we just need to emphasize the right thing. And that requires strong leadership, not leadership that continues to drive divisive stakes into our society.
When you look at your career, from neurosurgeon to HUD secretary, well, when I look at it, I think, how does this guy get here? And I think a lot of people would like to know, what was it about the HUD position that that attracted you to it, and why did you agree to take that position?
Because having grown up in dire poverty, I realized that there are a lot of people in our society who've been convinced that they're victims, who are treated like victims, who are not given the kinds of opportunities that they need. And I wanted to try to do something about that. I still have a very deep concern for poor people in our society, because I strongly believe that the majority of them don't have to be poor. And, you know, we talk about, for instance, the wealth gap, which is quite significant between American blacks and American whites. However, is it really a racial issue? Because when you look at Nigerians who came to this country, Ghanaians who came to this country, some others with black skin who came to this country, there's no wealth gap. And if you go to one of those families, go to a Nigerian family, first thing you'll discover is that a bachelor's degree is a baseline. That's the very baseline. And there's a lot of emphasis on family. And I think if you find American black families where they have those same kind of emphasis, you don't see that wealth gap either.
This is so interesting. I was talking to an Asian friend of mine once about wealth gap. And she said, well, in my experience, in my family and community, she happened to be of Chinese descent, but she was speaking generally. In my family and community, finances are always on the table. Like, we're always discussing it. We're always having financial discussions. It's something that we talk about around the dinner table. And it was the first time I had ever heard somebody say that in my family. When I was growing up, the baseline, like, that was not the baseline. You didn't talk about, you know, money at the dinner table. That was distasteful. You didn't talk about these issues like, how much does this person make, or how do I get to be this rich, or how do I get to this wealth status? We found it distasteful. But when she said that, I was like, oh, that's setting like a normalcy, right, for the family. And I was thinking maybe that's something that we all need to be discussing, particularly in the black community as well, making that a priority, not something that's sort of, ooh, I don't want to talk about what kind of money people make. Well, no, you're going to need money to survive, and you're going to need money to support your community. So we do need to be more engaged in these conversations around the dinner table.
What a difference it makes when you understand how to save, how to invest, you know, what kind of associations to make. It makes all the difference in the world. And, you know, I look at my children. We used to have those discussions, and they're doing very well.
Yeah, one thing that we emphasize in my house for our kids is working. You know, I mean, it's like, as soon as you can get to work, you should, if you want things, you know, if you have desires. My daughter likes to go to concerts. She loves music. And for a while, my husband was, because she's a daddy's girl, was just indulging her. But after a while, he said, well, you're going to have to find ways to earn what you want. Unfortunately, my son was a 2020 graduate. He lost that school year, that year of high school, to the pandemic and the closures. But the first thing he did when we closed school is he went and got a job. And I think you're right, Dr. Carson, that a lot of this has to do with the nuclear family. And if I feel like that's a bad term these days. Like, I feel like to say nuclear family, people are like, oh, well, what about? I understand. I'm the daughter of a single mom. I understand you're the son of a single mom. I understand that not being in a nuclear family is not an immediate condemnation of your future. But let's be realistic here. Every measurement we have, everything we have across time, every study, every research piece tells us that the nuclear family is one of the most basic indicators for how well you'll do in life.
No question about it. And, you know, those two factors, the nuclear family and understanding finance, are big factors in success. And it was the same when I went to HUD. When I went to HUD, the place was in financial shambles. They had not had an audit for several years. Even though every federal agency is required to have an annual audit, they could not do an audit because there were so many material defects. And so one of the first things we did was work very hard to get someone who was a financial expert. And we managed to get one of the senior partners from Ernst & Young and just twisted his arm until he finally agreed to come. And,
you don't seem like an arm twisting kind of guy, Dr. Carson.
We just pestered him until he figured it. I guess I better go do this. And what an incredible job he did, Herb Dennis. He's actually written a book about transforming a federal agency. I think HUD is probably the best run federal agency now.
Whoa.
But getting those things under control made it possible to do all the other programs that we were subsequently able to do. And we had a lot more on the docket had we had a second term.
Well, what were maybe a couple of examples of things that you were able to accomplish there that you feel very proud of, besides the audit, obviously?
Yeah, well, one of the things was the FYI program, Foster Youth to Independence. About 20,000 foster youth age out of foster care each year with a high degree of homelessness. And some of them actually came to HUD and told us their story. And we were so impressed. Within 4 months, we had a program together where we were granting housing assistance and wraparound services, because just giving them a place to live is not enough. You know, you can imagine if you were 18 years old and you didn't have a support system, just giving you a place to live wouldn't be enough. And that has made a big difference. The Envision Centers, where we take federal, state, and local programs along with nonprofits, faith groups, put them all together under the same roof and coordinate the services so that you give people a ladder from which to climb out of poverty into opportunity. You know, rearranging things at FHA and Ginnie Mae and modernizing them so that you could reduce the risk and give more people housing assistance. I mean, the list is much longer than your arm of things that we were able to accomplish. They don't, generally the media doesn't like to talk about it because they were good things. They were things that were mm-hmm. great for people. If it had been something bad, they'd be all over it. And, you know, that was another thing. You noticed a lot of the secretaries left. And because they attacked all of us, severe attacks. You know, you have to take money out of your own pocket to hire lawyers. You know, some of us, you know, have the resources to do that and some didn't. And it really is something that needs to be looked at, because I think it's very inappropriate. And so many good people on both sides will not go into government. They could do us a lot of good if I'm a really smart people, but they don't want to put themselves or their families through it.
And that's on purpose, right? It's to scare us all. I mean, I'm, again, in my little modest school board race, I'm already seeing that. And even I, who report on all of this ridiculousness, have had days where I'm like, I don't know if this is worth it. Like, and but that's the point, right? You drive good people out who are imperfect, but who have good ideas and intentions. You drive them out and then you just leave the positions to the vultures. But I find it really encouraging that you're saying that actually government can be changed, because I have to admit that some days I look and I'm like, this is hopeless. I don't know. Just burn it all to the ground. Like, I don't know how we fix this. Everything's so entrenched. But you're saying, no, I did see positive results when I went into HUD. And those results are available out there if we have the right representatives in those offices.
And the people have to understand that elections have consequences and that what they do is important. They need to inform themselves. And a lot of people, when they go to vote, they're just looking for a name that looks familiar. They don't know anything about them. It could be Satan. They say, I know that name. Yeah. In many cases, it is.
Oh, Matt. Well, I don't want to take up too much of your time. I've been so, it's been wonderful to talk to you, but I do have one more question that one of my colleagues over at, I write for redstate.com, by the way. I don't think I introduced myself as the deputy managing editor of Red State at the top, but I also write over there and I'm an editor over there. So one of my colleagues over there said, yeah, and I've been working to make, to sort of bring on more Black conservative writers, because I think we need more of that perspective. And you have to be intentional about finding those people. It's not that my colleagues are racist for not going to find them. They don't think from that perspective. So I want to bring in all perspectives. So one of my Black colleagues said, yes, ask Dr. Carson if he has noticed, which you have already kind of answered, that Black Americans are kind of shifting right, and what the GOP needs to do moving forward to help those people kind of move from this default Democrat setting to a more thoughtful political position. Now, I don't want to say to the Republican Party, but at least right. getting them to vote on issues that line up with their conservative values, which Black Americans really do have conservative values for the most part.
Absolutely. And that's the reason that, you know, my wife and I wrote another book, which will be coming out in May, called Created Equal: The Painful Past, Confusing Present, and Hopeful Future of Race in America, putting everything in perspective, including critical race theory, including our history. And I want Black people, white people, I want everybody to understand, you know, the function of a society and the different components of that society. And we have a choice. We can build our future on our past failures, or we can build our future on our great successes.
Amen. But we get to the- Well, one more question. Do you think you'll ever run for president again?
I have no plans of doing that. I will always do what the Lord leads me to do, but I hope that's not what it is.
Fair enough. Well, before we go, please tell everyone again about American Cornerstone Institute and where they can go to support you and your wife's great work over there and what they can do.
Well, thank you. AmericanCornerstone.org. And you'll find on there all kinds of information, conversation series with a lot of national leaders, a ton of television interviews that I've done, all kinds of resources for you, and also a link to Little Patriots. And we also have a More Perfect Union program starting now, which will give people an insider's view of the federal government, how to get involved, because we're trying to encourage people. And we don't want them to be scared away, because if all the good people are gone, what's left?
Well, there's no better note to end on. Thank you so much for your time. God bless you and all your endeavors, and, you know, anything that we can do for you here at FCB Radio, or me over at Red State, or here at Just Listen to Yourself, you guys just reach out to me and let me know, because I'm fully on board for that mission. Thank you so much.
Thank you for being a patriot.
Thank you, Dr. Carson. Goodbye.
I pray the Lord my soul today that we won't stay, then we won't stay. All we got is us, no one can take that away. Yeah. So don't stay, it's gonna be okay. I pray the Lord my soul today that we won't stay, then we won't stay. All we got is us, no one can take that away. Yeah. So don't stay, it's gonna be okay.
This has been a presentation of the FCB Podcast Network, where real talk lives. Visit us online at fcbpodcasts.com.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus.
Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 6 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $2.99 each. Then get flavorful large avocados for 99 cents each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.